We'll move on to number 15, Winter Ice Access Presentation. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, Commission Secretary Roebling, Jason Youngworth, Aquatic Habitat and Access Coordinator for the Department. And today I am going to give you an update on our ice fishing access plan and what we're planning to do with ice fishing season coming up. You can go to the next slide there, Chris. Thank you. We're kind of fitting to give this update right now. I mean, we just wrapping up the boating season about a week ago and getting that hard water out on most of the lakes out there other than probably the reservoir. So it's pretty fitting time that to give this update, and we'll soon be seeing like the picture in the slide here of those ice cities out there on water bodies. So next slide, please. What I'm going to give you today is just a quick overview on our inventory, what we have out there for resources for ice fishing, how we utilize partnerships, the challenges that we do face during the winter and opportunities, and then some resources out there for our anglers to utilize to help make their experience better out there. Our inventory here is broken down by region, and our regions are, we label them in numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, if you're not familiar. Region 1 is out west, Region 2 is in the central part of the state, Region 3 is southeast, and 4 is up in the northeast. So we have, right now we manage roughly 240 locations out there, and you can see the breakdown by region. And what I mean by manage for those is where we actively take an active role in snow removal, having parking lots, and getting our anglers on the ice. Now that being said, I should have meant to look it up and I forgot how many actual sites we have for boat ramps, shore fishing opportunities and stuff. It's a large number. An angler can use any one of those access locations to access the ice at any time. These are just the ones that we actively do management activities like snow removal, have contracts, things like that. And this is kind of our baseline where we start from on a season. This changes. So I mean, as the winter maybe gets really bad, we might have to pull back our snow removal operations if we just can't get equipment in to remove snow. So we might reduce some, or we might add another access site or locations based on that snow. Maybe we get a different location, or we'll follow a bite. And if it's not an active spot that we, it's on our normal rotation, but we've got a really good bite, we'll make sure we're hitting those areas to get anglers out there. What we use for partnerships is, it takes a lot of staff and a lot of people to open up all those areas and maintain those. We do have internal staff. Our park staff play an instrumental part to this, our habitat and terrestrial folks, as well as aquatic folks. We utilize different machines like the picture of the snow plow there. Really helps a lot. But we use a lot of external partners as well. We do contracts or agreements with city, county, townships. The U.S. Forest Service is another big one, and we just have a lot of contracts in place. And we pretty much got all those partnerships and everything lined up for this upcoming season. I think there might be a couple of danglers out there, or we just have some on kind of standby if need be, if the winter dictates that we need those. Some of the challenges that we deal with, the first one or the big ones on this one is the weather. Just that wind and blowing snow creates a nuisance problem of itself, and just unsafe ice conditions, another one. What we try to do on a weekly basis is we're not out there every day or every time an event happens to get open up access, but we generally try to have staff hit all access areas on like Thursday or Friday for that peak use time on the weekend for those anglers. So, well, you know, if an event unfortunately would happen or a big blow happen on Friday night after we just getting it open, we might not be able to get back to that spot by the weekend, but we try to make sure that that's open. Just the location that of some of the areas, sometimes they're in remote areas, it's hard to get to. So just getting, you know, you might have a mile or two of trail to get into to get access can create some challenges. Changing conditions there, the shoreline ice heaves, you know, just offshore ice heaves are big ones that, you know, we monitor, anglers need to monitor. And filling reservoirs is another big one. You know, when once we get ice on the Waihi Reservoir system, you know, when the reservoir is coming up in the spring or late winter and spring, what it typically does, that can create some issues as well. Some of the other challenges is just meeting expectations of our anglers, you know, whether it's be foot traffic, snowmobile or track vehicles, just our normal ATV traffic. You know, the big permanent shacks are getting to be very popular over time. So having that those access areas big enough for those to get on is a challenge at times. As well as the bite, like I mentioned, you know, chasing those hot bites and the high pressure can be a challenge at times as well, which creates parking issues. One thing we do is when we move snow, we don't move snow onto the ice. We just move it to the ice. It is up to the angler's responsibility to move out there. That's just a safety and liability thing. You know, we don't want to put our staff in jeopardy of getting out on the ice and maybe conditions that weren't favorable. Here's a couple pictures of some of those challenges. These are three pictures of ice heaves we have. The first one on the left there would be, you know, an early season ice heave. You know, a lot of times people think that ice heaves just happen in the winter and we get, you know, large volumes of ice out there, but we do get ice heaves that form early on in the winter. They can create some cracks or pressure ridges, like in the middle picture there on top, or they can get to be very large, like the right picture there. We do try to make an effort on boat ramps to clear those ice heaves for as long as we can. Once they get as big as that right picture on the last slide, sometimes it gets to be impossible for us to do. We will look for alternative locations where we can get people on the ice if that's possible, but we will try to make every effort we can to remove those heaves. Next slide. One of the things we do have, though, with ice heaves is it not only creates issues during the winter, a lot of times it creates issues for us in springtime once the ice thaw goes out. Here's just a few examples of a couple boat ramps and a boat ramp and a couple shore fishing opportunities or areas that are damaged that we have to do maintenance on in the springtime. Typically, we have probably close to a dozen areas in the springtime, whether it's our small plank boat ramps. Sometimes we'll even damage our large plank boat ramps. We have to get back in and fix those areas back up. Here's just snow removal pictures. A couple of them are hard to see, but I mean, that's kind of was designed to put those pictures in there. I mean, staff, you know, certain conditions find it hard to find where those, when we get enough snow, where those parking lot boundaries are. And a lot of it factors in too is the placement of where we move snow. You know, being thoughtful on how we move snow and where we move it, because if we move it in the wrong places, we can actually create more work for ourselves as those drifts form moving forward. And the last one, big one, is parking. Just making sure we have enough parking. Those snow piles, as they build up in the wintertime, create issues with parking. The picture on the right is the one, you know, on access roads where you got people want to get out, they line up the roads, and it gets to be pretty difficult for travel, and that's where sometimes we have the discrepancies with landowners, you know, and trying to find solutions. We did just work on an agreement on a Wolf Slough up in the northeast with a landowner. We got an access a lease agreement on there where there was issues like this in the last couple of years. We got a new access to Wolf Slough, got a parking lot, and then the township also helped widen out the road there so we can get an access to that parking area with that private landowner. So opportunities that we do work for is we're just trying to provide the most opportunity we can for anglers to utilize the sport and being proactive. Like it's mentioned, you know, our staff are working year-round, not just during the ice season, to try to find opportunities where we can, you know, find better parking spots or better opportunities and being thoughtful on how we're going to move snow or we're going to move snow or utilize contracts or whatnot to get anglers out there. Next slide. Some of the resources we have out there, you've heard a couple times about our aquatic access map today, you know, with the waterfowl access and other things. We do have a tab on there for ice fishing access as well. This is where those 240 sites are located on here. So you can go to our access map, our aquatic access map, click on the ice tab, and you'll pull up all the icons on there. One thing that we just want to make note for all our users out there is, go on, if you click on each one of those icons, it'll pull up a screen up there and it'll give you that information on that ramp. And staff are very adamant and do a good, very good job on putting updates on there. So they will put on there the date and the time when they remove the snow, if there's some heaves that they need to worry about, or just some basic notes. So it's a good resource to, for users to access this map, click on those icons before they go, and it'll give them an update on snow and ice conditions that are there. Another thing we do is we do a media release. I think we just reached out to Nick's shop about getting this out there with ice conditions, just kind of putting that that top picture there on the right is that pretty standard language we put out there, and just kind of the recommendation for safe conditions for, you know, foot traffic and vehicle traffic and so forth. And we do, if you're new to ice fishing, look at our outdoor campuses. They have a lot of opportunities out there, and we've heard in different instances about hunting opportunities or educational classes. They do host classes for ice angling as well, and opportunities there. So look for the campuses and our staff there for that. And I believe that might be, it's the last one. So with that, any questions?
Very good. Any questions for Jason or comments? Secretary Roebling.
Thank you, Jason. Great presentation. I just want to give kudos to staff for doing these efforts, you know, during the winter months. Not a lot of states across this country do this. So it is above and beyond. Obviously, the sportsmen and women of our state love this as well, so they can get better access to fishing. But I would like to make one comment. We had some issues with ice safety in the past, and we just got to really be careful when folks are venturing out, especially on river ice. River ice is never safe, and it's something we're going to continue talking about throughout this ice fishing season. Last year, we had some very unfortunate events. You'll hear more from the department on ice safety here moving forward, but this is a great opportunity to get more people out in the outdoors. I have a couple 7-year-olds that absolutely love ice fishing, so thank you for keeping those accesses open. Thank you.
Very good. Questions from the commission? Great update, great information. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. We will move.